So we're so excited that you all are here today because we think that social media is super important and we want you to as well. Today I have with us Babette Pepi, and Babette is the founder and CEO of Bakespace.com, which is an incredible community. It won the Webby Award for Best Social Network. And she's also the founder and producer of Tech Munch, which is a series of food blogger conferences. And she has created in just a few years an incredible community, so I encourage you to visit Bakespace.com. I also have Tammy Tibbetts, who's the founder of She's the First, which is a nonprofit which sponsors girls' education in the developing world. And she also founded a benefit concert series called Girls Who Rock, which is kind of set the bar incredibly high for nonprofits on the web. And then I have Nicole Williams, who is the best-selling author of Girl on Top, which has also been optioned by a Hollywood producer, the same one who made American Beauty, so hopefully we'll be seeing it on the big screen soon. And she also has a very popular career newsletter, which you can sign up for at girlontop.com. And she is LinkedIn's connection director. So we have three very different perspectives. We have a corporate perspective, a nonprofit perspective, and an entrepreneurial perspective. So I hope that we'll also leave time in the end for you to tap into each of their expertises. But in the meantime, I wanted to start by asking you, the audience, how many of you work in corporate America? Okay. And how many of you are on an entrepreneurial track? And how many of you are on the nonprofit track? So we'll start with a corporate question. Nicole, I was just hoping that you could sort of talk about why a person in corporate America would be engaged in social media. So can you hear Nicole? Oh, I think your mic is not on. Do you hear that? No? Can you talk really loud?
You need to have, you need to fill out your profile. Here are the big mistakes people make. They think, I'll just have my current position on there and no other position because that's all that's relevant. And in fact, you should have as much of your career history as possible actually listed out. LinkedIn is SEO, so it's search engine optimized. This is your professional record. Your digital record. You will be found by virtue of this LinkedIn profile. And for a lot of older people, I will be an older person very soon as I'm now into my 40s. It's like a lot of employers are afraid that you're not digitally conversant, that you don't have a presence, and they don't give a shit whether or not you've got a Facebook page. What they do care about is the fact that you've got a professional profile. So please have that, and have that linked to your professional profile on your resume. Even if you're not looking for a job, make sure that you're indicating the skills that you have. What we know nowadays in this kind of economy is that employers are out looking for potential candidates. And there's nothing better than being found, quite frankly. So the more skills you have listed within your profile, the better. The other thing you need to do is have a photograph. Downstairs, we've got a LinkedIn lounge where we've got a professional photographer. You can get a photograph taken. You're 7 times more likely to be seen. Sometimes if you have a profile but no photograph, people think that you're not really a real person. And 50 connections. That's the key to getting to the next level of contacts. Above and beyond. I'm sure we'll talk about more.
Okay. And didn't mean to cut you off. I think it's going to be tricky to be the moderator if I don't have the microphone. Can you guys talk loud enough for people? Can you guys move up a little bit? I'm so sorry to put you on the spot, but for those of you in the back, if you would move forward a little bit, that would be great. Just so if you could talk to someone, their mics are not working. None of their mics are working. If you can maybe go back.
This mic works.
Oh, fabulous. Okay, awesome. Okay, so it's just one. Oh, yay. Okay, problem solved. So, sorry about that, Nicole. So sorry. Okay, so Babette, I thought you could help us understand a little bit, because when we hear about Bake Space, how many members are now part of Bake Space?
Can you guys hear me?
Hello.
We have 500,000 members. I think like 560,000+.
And how was social media instrumental in you building that community?
Sure. We're a social media company, so it's kind of strange to think that we would send our members off-site, especially in 2006 when we first launched. You didn't have, Facebook was there, there was no Twitter. I think Twitter started in 2007, but you didn't really do that in 2006. You were the social media. So as Facebook started growing, everyone kept telling me, you need to have a Facebook page. And I'm like, why would I ever do that? And for about 6 to 8 months, I really did not want to do that. So I guess the idea is that you really have to go where the fish are. If as long as you're using the tools correctly and driving traffic back, everything that you do on these social media platforms should benefit you somehow.
But how did you get to over 500,000 members through social media? I mean, how does
great content? No. We were the first food-themed social network, so up until then, there were forums, and it was just a great timing for us in 2006. So the idea of someone being able to swap recipes instantly with somebody else was really appealing. People were ready for that kind of genuine connection with somebody, and also instant. So it wasn't like a forum where you'd have to leave a message. So I think one thing I recommend, PR. People say that the press release is dead. I totally disagree. I think it's the only time that your exact message will be out there. And we really hit it hard with publicity in the beginning, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune. Once we got the attention, folks started coming. And then what happens is that if you create a really dynamic platform, people will then go out into the social realm and start sharing with their friends. Now, it's a lot different. Before, it was like having to shake one person's hand at a time to get them to come to the site. Now, you put a Facebook like on any website that literally just has an address bar that says sign up and put your email address, and people will share it. So it's a lot easier now to actually expand your network and get buzz and generate buzz around your community. It's just making sure that you have in place those social tools so that somebody who has 3,000 followers on Facebook, or I have a girlfriend who has like 1.6 million followers on Twitter. Her name is Adventure Girl. She is the sweetest woman ever. And if she lands on your page and goes, oh, I love this, it's about dog rescues, which her and I have this fascination with, she will send that to all of her community. So sometimes you have to realize that your message is, it's like you're leapfrogging. You want that one person who's going to share it with everyone else. So start thinking about your content as more individual pieces that will be spread out. No homepage is the landing page anymore. Every single page of your blog, company website is a landing page.
That's a great point. And Tammy, can you talk a little bit about you're sort of the queen of viral sort of fundraising campaigns. Can you talk a little bit about that?
She's the first. Girls Who Rock was mentioned. We do that during Internet Week New York. And we used Twitter and Facebook and a page called CauseVox to, even though the concert was happening in New York City, anyone could get involved as part of the class of 20.
So Tammy, back up and share with people about the concert, because most people probably are not familiar.
The Girls Who Rock concert, our goal was to fundraise to send girls to school in Uganda. And what we did was have a toolkit on our website, girlswhorock.org, so that when someone gave whatever amount, $5, $10, $20, to support our fundraising goal, they then got a badge that they could put on their, a pick badge that they could put on their Twitter page, and graphics that they could put on a blog. So using social media, not only to promote what you're doing to your audience, but also to give them then what they need to make it the cause part of their identity too.
And most recently you did a viral tie-dye cupcake campaign that raised $17,000. How did that happen?
Yeah, I'm excited to tell you about that because it was just this past November 1st and 8th, the tie-dye cupcake bake-off. And exactly a year ago, a then sophomore at the University of Notre Dame had a tie-dye cupcake bake sale in her dorm, which means that she used food coloring to make her cupcakes colorful. And she raised $900, sponsored three girls in Nepal. We, of course, then blogged about it on our website. And then other students, because if you use social media to be totally transparent about your work, it just takes off organically. So other students started making the cupcakes. They asked for the recipe. And we saw, like, wow, we really have something marketable here. So a year later, we used our Facebook and Twitter following to recruit student teams across the country. We had 100 sign up. And their call to action was to have a simple cupcake bake sale during that week. And in total, they raised over $17,300, and they still have checks coming in, all from something that really cost us no money to produce.
So a lot of people in this room have been at the same company for many years. Nicole, why would someone like that, how could they benefit within their company from using social media?
Yeah, and this is what a lot of people don't know, is that LinkedIn has a lot of tools that you can use as a professional just to enhance your career, just to enhance your skill set, to enhance your knowledge base. One of the key things that I really appreciate and use myself is called questions and answers. So you can go in the toolbar to more, and under the more category, you see answers and questions. And what you do here is you can either, as a professional, ask a question of, you know, this 135 million, you know, person network. So if you're looking for innovative ideas in human resources, or you've got a question that you professionally need to have answered, you could put it out to a community of professionals, and you're going to get professional responses back. And unlike your average, you know, forum, these are people who are attached to their professional identity, so you're not going to get a lot of crap. You're going to get someone who's actually thinking about a response. You're going to get legitimate responses. And this, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of being innovative, out of the box, and you can take that idea to your next team meeting and claim it as your own, as I would suggest you do. The other thing you can do is answers. You can answer questions. So people are asking questions in your professional realm of, you know, and they're asking these questions, and you can respond as an expert. And even if you are in your existing company, you know, there's nothing better than being promoted, being recognized for your expertise and for your talent. And answers is a great way of just putting yourself out there and being recognized as an expert in your field. And what ends up happening is you get identified professionally as the person who's answering this question. Then you're going to get connected with people who are reading your answers and say, hey, you know, Georgia, I just saw your response to this. This is really smart. I'd love to be connected. Another key thing I use LinkedIn for is, frankly, to be inspired. Because who, at the end of the day, especially when you've been working the same job or same industry, you know, you're just like, holy Lord, please give me some inspiration. And it's being connected with people who you do find inspiring, watching their status updates. You can see the trajectory of their career. You can see what kinds of articles they're following, what kind of groups they're involved with on LinkedIn. So that, you know, every Monday, you know, if I'm feeling a little down about what I have to tackle over the course of that week, it's like looking to see who within my connection, my Rolodex, are doing really interesting things, and drop that note of congratulations, and it feels kind of good, and it makes your week infinitely better.
Yeah, I think one of the other points I'd make along those lines, Nicole, those are great points, is that you can expand your network through social media in a way that you never could before. So if you do run HR at ExxonMobil, you can then go in and be beneficial to your own company by knowing best practices at other companies. So you can search on, for example, Twitter and find other people who are leaders in the human resources space, add them to your network, and just follow their updates so you're kept up to date on the latest articles, the latest information, and you're expanding your own value in terms of your career. As all women, I feel, should have excellent networks within and without, outside of their companies. And I think that one of the things we do ourselves a disservice for, and suddenly tongue-tied, So I think that in terms of networking, it's essential that you're always networking outside of your company as well as inside. And it's not in any way a threat to the company. It's simply to strengthen your own brand.
And I love what Samantha's saying. And in part, when you're going for your yearly review or you're going in for a promotion to ask for a raise, this is the initiative you've taken to, on behalf of ExxonMobil, answer these questions out to the community. You know, you print out those responses and you show your boss, hey, listen, this is what I've contributed. I'm a part of this conversation. And beyond that, you can be asked to be a speaker at events. It's just a way, back in the day, you know, Samantha and I have both been on the Today Show, you had to do, you know, that was your forum. And you were only an expert if you got invited to be a part of these kinds of conversations. That's not true anymore. You can engage in conversation and be identified as an expert just by virtue of, you know, being a part of these conversations that exist on LinkedIn. And you can just go to that category and just write in any kind of, type in any kind of question or answer relevant to your industry, and you're gonna find a wealth of information.
Absolutely, and I think the other thing I'd recommend to everyone is, in addition to expanding your networks, the person who knows the most information about their industry becomes the most valuable employee. And so if you're on top of not only what people are saying about your company, but what people are saying about your industry, you immediately become the more valuable player. And you can just think of it as, who would you rather on your team? The person who comes to you with cutting edge things and knowing what's going on in the industry, or the person who does not keep you in the loop? You want your team members to be as in the loop as possible. And social media is a wonderful tool for that. In fact, I think you can, you know, Nicole spoke beautifully about LinkedIn. I think you can also think about Twitter in terms of almost curating the information for you. As a marketing professional, you don't have time to read every single marketing trade book out there, but you can curate your Twitter feed to only follow the people who are on the front lines of marketing. You can follow your favorite periodicals, and you can follow your favorite market leaders. So, sure.
You know, in the speaker room, I just had the exact conversation with another speaker, and she said that she gets really overwhelmed with Twitter, and I said, what's your field? And she said, marketing. And I'm like, you should totally be on Twitter. I'm like, let's figure out why you're not, how you're not using it right. And then I told her about, does anyone have an iPad here? Do you guys have iPads? There's an app called Zite, Z-I-T-E. And it's like Flipboard, if you've seen Flipboard, that aggregates like stuff from your Facebook feeds and stuff like that. But what Zite does that's different is it aggregates on topics. So, for example, what's important to me, food bloggers, publishing, cupcakes, like things that I can retweet quickly that will just remind my community that I'm just trying to send them some interesting stuff. So if you don't really know how to use Twitter yet, you can download that app. And what it does, it curates all the best content. So you just, and it has social tools within it. So if you see a good article, you just hit Twitter, and it will populate the tweet for you. It will do everything for you. All you have to do is hit send. That's a way to just show that community that you're a person who curates the best content. There's also a great Twitter handle, Scott Monty. He's actually the guy who runs social media for Ford. He's a perfect example of somebody who is in a corporate environment who has been able to leverage his social media persona to not only speak at events, he probably is going to write a book, but Ford, if he leaves that company, he takes all those hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers with him. So now he becomes a real commodity within that company as well. And wherever he goes next will be something that's kind of interesting.
Well, I think that makes people at companies not want their team to do social media.
That's true, but if you have like 100,000 followers, that's a number that's really high. Don't aim for that. But say if you did, or say if you even have 10,000 followers, every time you retweet your press releases or something that's company related, that's 10,000 more people that your one person, you, can send out that information to. So that's a way to kind of leverage the company to be like, look, people are retweeting our information.
Tammy, can you talk a little bit? We haven't really given Facebook much love. Can you talk a little bit about how you use Facebook?
Well, in our case with She's the First, we have 20 campus chapters and growing, and if you want to start a campus chapter of She's the First, that's one of the requirements, is that you start a Twitter and a Facebook page, and that allows them to broadcast what they're doing on behalf of She's the First and our mission to sponsor girls to their campus, to their classmates, and it also lets us, you know, at our headquarters in New York City, see the photos that they're posting from their events, and we're able to stay in touch with them, see how can we better help them, what kind of guidance can we give to make them better leaders. And in our case, Facebook is where they're always hanging out. We also use Facebook groups, which for this tie-dye cupcake bake-off, the leader of each team was invited to join, and they would troubleshoot each other's questions. So, for example, you know, my campus won't let me sell home baked goods in the student center. What do I do? And I'm not a student in college anymore, so it's harder for me to say. And they were able to help each other overcome their obstacles, which is really inspiring for me to see, since part of our objective is to grow leadership, the next generation of global leaders.
And Babette, as an entrepreneur, how have you used Facebook successfully?
I can tell you how not to use Facebook. I'll just tell you a quick story. Facebook has a really interesting quirk that you can only tag a picture with 50 people's names. And I did a contest where I had a month long of cookbook giveaways, and I said, tag yourself on the cookbook image, like, you know, it was a month, so it looks like a little calendar, on the cookbook that you want to win that day, and we'll basically give that cookbook away on that day. And I thought that was like awesome idea. It was great. And once we got to the 50 limits, you know, I'm on the West Coast, so all my East Coast folks were like, we can't tag ourselves anymore. What's going on? I had to duplicate the calendar over and over. It was awful. But a couple of good ways to use Facebook. We syndicate our blog content. We put out a thing that says, you know, today is National Whatever Day. We also do sponsored stories, too. So if you ever see, like, ads on the right that say, you know, like a certain topic and it links you back to a Facebook fan page's post, that's been really interesting. Sponsored stories are a bit complicated because you have to really craft your message to know that it's going to be updated every single time you write something on your fan page. So if you just say something that doesn't mean anything, it becomes an ad that doesn't go anywhere. It's terrible. But also, a lot of people have Facebook profiles themselves. So you can leverage your personal profile to your friends and family when you post stuff on your business page, if you have a business page, to tell your friends and family, please go and like this so that it gets into the stream. If nobody likes your post, most likely your fans aren't going to see it either. So it's kind of cool that you can be in a social space that has all your friends who are willing to support you and like stuff. Like, my boyfriend does PR for a whole bunch of different companies, and one of them is called the ICL. And they have all this stuff that's eye-related. I've never worn glasses, I don't need surgery, but I like that thing every single time they post something because I just want to help them grow and get to where they need to be. So leveraging your friends is kind of fun, too, because then you can, you know, they want to support you, they want to help you, but you have to tell them, please like this. So that it starts getting into the stream much more quicker.
Yeah, I think along those lines, I have a Facebook and were any of you at the Small Business Boot Camp yesterday? Okay, so only two of you have to hear this story twice. I'm a big believer that your Facebook page, your personal Facebook page, should be your network of everyone you've ever met. Because there's so many ways to use Facebook for your networking, for your career, for other things. A year ago, a friend of mine who I'd worked with for 2 weeks when I was 21 years old, named Colin Garrity, friended me, and I had not heard from him in 17 years. And he friended me, and I thought, oh, I wonder how Colin's doing, the guy I worked with for 2 weeks when I was 21 years old. And it turns out he lives in Los Angeles and is a mortgage broker. Well, he had no idea that my husband and I were just moving to Los Angeles 6 months ago, and we were buying a house, and guess what? We needed a mortgage broker. So we hired Colin Garrity to be our mortgage broker, and at the very last second, we were about to close. As many of you might know, it's not a great market to get a mortgage, and there was a real hiccup in our application, and it looked like it might not go through. And Colin, because of our relationship, completely fought for us and pushed it through and made it happen. And if he hadn't fought so hard, it never would have happened because my husband and I are both entrepreneurs, so we have sort of an untraditional application for Bank of America. Because of this, Colin became known as a superhero within Bank of America, and he's now giving seminars up and down the West Coast to explain to people how to work with untraditional clients at Bank of America. He's considered like the new rising star at the company, all because of a click he made to friend me on Facebook from our friendship over 2 weeks, 18 years ago. So I encourage you to all friend, sort of every person you've ever worked with, all of your contacts can be great, great people to have in your Facebook feed. I also recommend, a lot of people are nervous that someone from their past who maybe doesn't have the best ethics or doesn't have the best sort of judgment is going to write graffiti on their wall and spam their wall. You can be the curator of your own wall. So you should constantly be looking at your Facebook wall to make sure that there's not things that you're uncomfortable with on there. You can delete any post, you can delete anything on there. It's your choice. So you're in charge of your own wall. You don't have to worry about someone else spamming it because you can fix it immediately. Do any of you have experiences? Actually, Tammy has a wonderful experience of a person that's become very important in her life that she met on Twitter.
Yeah, it's happened quite frequently that young women who friend or who start following She's the First on Twitter, I get an email alert in my inbox. And I do that because in that email, it shows where they're from and their bio. So if I see that they have an interesting bio and they're from New York City, then I go back and I maybe Google them after and see, are they something interesting to know? And that's how we found some of our key volunteers for She's the First, through followers. But this particular story, a woman named Cynthia Helen started following She's the First, and then she friended me on Facebook, and I didn't know her offline at that point, and I don't accept people I've never met. But I saw we had a mutual friend, Annie, who I had interned with, and I asked Annie, like, who is this woman, Cynthia? She's always tweeting great things about She's the First, but I don't know her. And this was about 2 years ago. And Annie was like, oh, we met at South by Southwest, like, you two should meet. So I met Cynthia for coffee, and then she became my co-founder for the Girls Who Rock, which is our biggest event, biggest fundraiser for She's the First. And she's one of my most interesting and inspiring creative partners.
And how about you, Vivette? Have you met anyone that's become an important part of your life on social media?
You know, because we're web-based, like all of our members, we've been able to sort of have really cool relationships with them. One woman in particular, I actually met her, I was watching a documentary on horse slaughter, and the story was really inspiring, and I decided to contact the nonprofit. And we started a thing, this thing called Cupcake Camp. I don't know if anyone has heard of that. It goes all over the country. We do the LA version of it. And we needed some people, some nonprofits, to donate the proceeds of what we make. So I thought she'd be perfect. And she is the most amazing woman. It's Angel Acres Horse Haven Rescue. And she has such an amazing, powerful following on Twitter and Facebook that she inspired us to completely rethink our mobile technology. We created an app recently. It just got into the App Store called Cookbook Cafe, and it allows anyone to create a custom cookbook, sort of a community cookbook, and make it into an iPad app and a digital cookbook available on Bakespace and sell it through our marketplace. We're about to release the next version of it, but she was the inspiration, having this kind of relationship online with her, of me saying, I have to think about everything I do. It's like being in a plane. You can put oxygen mask on you, or you put it on your child first, but you should probably put it on you, because then you can help your child. So she inspired me to this relationship that I saw her fight so aggressively in social media and build her following, to say, I need to build something that helps her, so that she can rapidly grow her nonprofit with scaling it in a way that she's a one-man show. So she's been like the inspiration of actually thinking about your company in a much bigger, broad term of how can you help instead of just being a company and trying to make money.
But I think too, I love what Samantha said in terms of if you've known people, yes, you know, you can accept them to be a part of your community, but certainly on a professional level, especially with LinkedIn, because this is a professional forum. If someone is asking to connect with you and you don't have a photograph, there's no photograph, you don't know who this person is, you can feel completely comfortable not accepting that invitation to connect with them, because there is a level of birds of a feather, and you do have to be cognizant of who you're connecting with professionally and how they might reflect on you professionally. And the reverse is true. So you want to build a Rolodex. This is a public Rolodex of people who you're connected with, so that, you know, it enhances your professional profile. So go and seek people out. And one of the things, I was working with some young women downstairs this morning, and I was like, who's someone you'd like to be connected with? And she's like, Meg Whitman. And we were like, oh, there's going to be thousands of connections. Do you know she has like 296 connections? And why that is, I promise you this, is because people think, oh, Meg Whitman wouldn't want to be connected with me. And if you just use the standard LinkedIn, hey, connect with me, she probably wouldn't, frankly. But if you said, listen, and this woman worked for Hewlett Packard, but said, I was at the Houston Women Conference for Women, I'm also at HP, I'm a young woman who, you know, is inspired by your career. If you make it personal like that, dollar to a donut, she will accept you. And now Meg is a part of your Rolodex, and that's an amazing person to have with you.
That's a great point. I think that one of the things that's so remarkable about all social media is that I don't accept people I don't know, but if they've said, I heard you speak at this conference, or I really like your work, and they cite one of my books or whatever it might be, I always accept them on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. And I think that's a great point in terms of personalizing it.
Yeah, and I think that, again, with social media, because it's digital, it's technology, we think we don't need to use the same, you know, interactive, personal skills that we would use in real life. And it's like, no, I don't want to be your friend if you haven't explained to me who you are or how I can benefit or that we have a connection. When you're using social media as much as possible, you know, be helpful. Don't be the person who's always asking for something or selling something or asking for a job. You want to build relationships and connections prior to ever needing anything from anyone. You know, or at least in part, and Tori talked about this yesterday, she has an 80-20 rule of she's going to provide 80% of answers and I'm going to engage with people and offer my expertise and advice, and then 20% of her time she's asking for something. And that's fine. That's a great balance. You know, and your balance can be whatever you want your balance to be, but, you know, ultimately you're building your social network before you ever need them, and you've got to be thinking in terms of what can I offer them. Like, you know, it's great content, which I think Babette's absolutely right, but it's thinking like that.
And one of the things is that we're in a very specific moment in time where we are still at the early stages of the social media revolution. And so what that means for everyone here is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to reach for the stars in terms of the top person that you admire in your field or the top woman in business. Reach out to that person through social media when you get home tonight or tomorrow. Those are the people that you can suddenly reach. You know, I put together a book series by cold calling. I don't even know if cold calling exists anymore. I mean, now everyone is accessible. So you can reach them through their Twitter feed. People take notice when you write personal things. And I think you can actually, you know, if you wanted Susie Welch to be your mentor, you can start tweeting with her and eventually you'll say to her, I really would love a mentor or some advice in this, and I guarantee you she'd give you 15 minutes of your time. This is a very unique opportunity for all of us. And the other thing is it's free. You know, it might not be in 10 years, but right now, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn are all free. So they're just tools at our disposal to use. One of the things I'd love for you to talk about, Tammy, is how you sort of age specify when you're working with different social media tools.
Yes, well, in terms of the teenage audience that I work with.
Yeah, so you were saying that when you know that you're trying to reach teenagers, you have to use specific tools to
right.
do that.
So in the example of connecting with our college chapters, Facebook is our go-to. With younger teenagers, because I also have my day job, I was doing social media for 17, I find that Tumblr is so effective because that's the rising blogging platform. For them, it's very visually driven, and now Pinterest is, you know, on the heels of that. But when I am, say, trying to develop the board of directors for She's the First, the women who are veterans in their industry with a lot of experience to lend us aren't necessarily on, they're probably not on Tumblr, and it's very hard to find them through Facebook. But in that case, I went on LinkedIn and the groups for Networks of 85 Broads, I put a post up, women in business finance, are you looking for opportunities to give back? This millennial-driven nonprofit is hoping that you might like to be an advisor or a board member. And through that, we did find some of those board directors and advisors.
So one of the things that that as you talked about Zeit, is so useful in terms of helping you pare down information based on specific topics. What other tools do you use that you can share with us?
socialmention.com is a great website. Basically, it's not even really a website. I mean, it's a website, but you don't use it as a website. You use it as an email digest that will send you, you put in your search term. It's kind of like Google's Google Alerts, but it's more socially driven. So people who send tweets with like certain keywords that you're looking for, there are so many times I've seen a tweet in a social mention thing, and I didn't even see it on my profile by hitting my own mentions. That's a really good thing to use. There's something called Twapper Keeper, which kind of has a funny name. It basically archives hashtags. So if you have an event that your company is putting on, you register your hashtag with them, and it will start archiving them. So when you need to print out your report of how many people retweeted or how many people participated in the chat or the conversation online about the certain topic. Also, I use Twitter to actually look at the competition. I use it to sort of figure out what features that my competitors are launching, or to find journalists that my competitors have already followed. So I will look through their follow list. Don't think of the same conversation I had earlier where Lynn was like, I don't understand Twitter. She was so nice. I said, don't think of Twitter as something that you have to participate in. You can be a browser. You can use it to benefit you in terms of being knowledgeable on the topic. Using hashtags in your tweet are also good too, like if you're trying to tap into someone who talks about, you know, I use the hashtag cupcakes all the time, and I send it to like my favorite blogger in New York, who Michelle with Cupcakes Take the Cake. If I tweet something that I found with a cupcake and put her name in it, like CC her, she will retweet that thing almost every time if it's an awesome cupcake. So if you find really cool content to send to somebody, give them the tools to forward that on too.
I have one that I can add to that list. It's called Storify.com. And I did this after the Pennsylvania Conference for Women. Since I'll be on an airplane tonight, one of you can beat me to it and do it for Texas if you'd like. And you basically go on and you can pull all the tweets from a hashtag. So you can use the Texas Conf Women hashtag. And then you can create a story with the tweets and pull the best ones from, especially from the keynotes and the speakers. And you can add text to sort of editorialize around it. And then when you publish it, you can notify every single person whose tweet you included in your story. And then they're seeing your face again and hopefully following you. And it's a way to give yourself, make yourself stand out to the speakers. Because every time I'm including the Storify, I always look to see who created it and what was their background.
That sounds amazing. Does everyone understand that, or would you want her to repeat that one more time? Can you take us through that one more time?
So when you go home to your computer tonight, go on Storify or this afternoon, Storify.com, Storify.com. You just log in with your same Twitter login, and then there'll be a space for you to put in a hashtag, and you can put in the Texas Conf Women hashtag that you're using for today, and you'll see a stream of all tweets from anyone who was here and use that. So you can pull the tweets from any of the important keynote speakers, from other influential attendees, and craft your own story. In the morning, the keynotes were XYZ, and the main message was this, and then put that together, and then when you publish it, everyone that you mention will get a tweet from you saying whatever you want the message to be. I was so inspired by today, I'm so glad you were at the conference too. Whatever you want your message to be, and they'll get that tweet from you, and they'll be intrigued, and they'll click on that link, and they'll see it, wow, she archived the whole conference. This is impressive. And then that could be the beginning of a really important relationship that you have.
That's great. And then, Nicole, can you talk to us about how someone, if they were here today and they wanted to hire for a really important position in their firm, what's the first thing they would do on LinkedIn? Like, take us through how to use LinkedIn to its fullest to do that.
Yeah. Now, LinkedIn has a function that's really helpful, and it's called Advanced People Search. So you can actually, I wish we had a computer so I could show you, but please just check this out. And what you can do is look for an individual. So if you don't know their name, these are keywords. So these are the key assets or talents, skills, talents that you want this person to have. You also have a geographical area that you can search within. Then you can start to look, okay, I want 0 to 2 years experience, so I want someone fresh out of college, or I want someone who's got 5 years experience. Then you can click to, I want someone who's a director level, or I want somebody who's, you know, an entry level. There's so many ways of essentially designing, you know, this person who it is that you're looking for. You press, you click on it, you press send, and then what comes up are all the people who would be eligible, who have these skill sets, who live within this jurisdiction, within this area, all the people who've worked within, you know,
so
got
even
5 years
people you're not connected to.
Not even people that you're not connected to. People to, yes, that's right, Samantha, people you're not connected to. But you know what's so funny is when you start to get to 50 people, you are very likely, it is the 6 degrees of separation, you are very likely to be second or third degree connected to these people. And even if you're not, there's ways of, you know, you can get the business account, you can upgrade your account, but you can also find these people. So you identify an individual, you can then go through the advanced people search looking for that particular individual, you know, and just see where they're at and just engage with them. And, you know, it's, again, it's using common sense in terms of trying to connect with people. But if you're looking for vendors, for clients, for, if you're looking for a mentor, LinkedIn just did a study and astoundingly, one out of every five women does not have a mentor. And what we're finding is, and a part of the study was that...
So 80% of women have a mentor?
Yeah, that's high, but it's still one in four who don't, which I was surprised by, to be honest with you. At this stage of the game, you'd think that pretty much everybody has a mentor. And it's, you know, you can find mentorship through LinkedIn just by virtue of, you know, and it's sort of redefining what mentorship is. But if you can ask a question, you can ask for assistance. I think as women, so often we want to help everyone else. And, you know, we're afraid to ask for the introduction or for the question. We found, too, in another study that women are... you know, and this is a broad stroke, but statistically we're not as great at networking as men are, and this was kind of surprising considering our social skill, but in a lot of cases we don't extend ourselves and just ask for what we need via our community. And
now, may I reverse the question? If you are a job seeker and you want to find a job in operations at a company in Houston, what would you do?
Yeah, and okay, so you follow companies that you would like to work for potentially. Obviously there's a job listings, but honestly I think it's better to find jobs and opportunity that aren't listed. By the time a job's listed, it's already done. So, you know, you want to, sorry, I have a cold, so my brain is not on rapid fire right now, but if you're looking, you are, you know, you're going to ask within your contacts, you're going to search companies that you're looking to look for, you're going to look at your average job postings, but you're also going to see, too, one of the things that you can do on the company pages. So if you want to work for Shell, for example, you can look on that company page and you can learn more about the employees at Shell. So you can see the people who've departed from that company, so you know what positions may potentially be open. Or you can see new hires. You can also track press releases. So it's finding opportunity before it's even posted. So you've just learned that ExxonMobil, they're press releasing that they're, or you're a PR company, they've just acquired a new client. You know, you can suspect that there's new business and opportunity there. So it's, you know, it's writing to that person saying, hey, listen, I've been following your company. I'm really impressed with what you've done in this regard. You know, are you looking for someone with this skill set? You know, it's reaching out and actually asking for the job, which is going to make a difference in terms of that job seeking orientation.
So it sounds like in terms of corporate America, there are two ways that corporate America can use, individuals in corporate America can use social media. One is to rapidly expand your network in really wide and wonderful, diverse ways. And the other is just sheerly through consuming information and sort of using the best curators out there to make yourself top of all the information in your industry and just staying on top of it. What other ways do you see people, innovative ways of people using social media?
Like I said, the competition, I'm obsessed with them, all of them. You know, I think that you could, Who has a Facebook fan page here? Does anyone have a Facebook fan page? Okay. And what do you do on that Facebook fan page? Do you just syndicate
blog post, or do you actually engage the community? What? And what's the most successful thing that gets the most comments? Is October like your Super Bowl? Is it? yeah, I could imagine. For us, because we're a food site, our most successful posts are like, today's National Cupcake Day. Here's a recipe, like if you're obsessed with chocolate cupcakes. That is like not life-changing. That is not going to make the world like something is going to happen. But it engages the community. All of a sudden, it's like 60 comments will come up or people will just like it. You can also just tell them, too, please like by doing this. I find that, what was the question? Sorry, I'm actually really interested in hearing more from the community.
Yeah, so actually, we're going to open it up to the audience. I just want to leave, I want each of you to give us one takeaway, that to be successful in social networking, you must, Nicole.
Be active, you know, engage, extend yourself. Don't just, you know, have a profile or a page and just expect people to come to you. You're going to have to outreach and actually engage and use it.
Tammy?
And I would say to use social media to build a bridge with the offline world. You're going to a conference, see who's going to be there, tweet them in advance, and then tweet up so that you can meet offline to make the real human connection in that way, too.
I love that. How about you?
I have like one and a half. Don't underestimate the ego. If you see something that you really like, if you tweet something, they may not see it in topic, but if they'll see their name, they will most likely always see the tweet. Even if they don't reply, they will see it. And I just have one added bonus to that. Someone said on Twitter the other day, and it just really resonated with me, they said, always make your tweets more valuable or valuable to more than one person. And I think that's really interesting because you may send something out there and it's like, oh, I'm tired. It's like, that's not valuable for anybody. But if you say something like, hey, I found this really cool stuff. I'm really excited to see what you're doing. I can't wait to see you at this conference and use the hashtag. Now all of a sudden, someone reading that, that may not seem like that's important information to anyone else. But I'll be like, oh, what's that conference? Oh, that's kind of interesting. I'll click on the hashtag and I'll see everyone else talking about it. And I'll eventually find the conference organizer's username and I will go to their page and I will check it out. So keep that in mind, that maybe just sending out random stuff may not be the best benefit.
That's a great point. And also, I mean, in terms of this conference and just getting started tomorrow, for someone who wanted to expand their network or is just starting, why not reach out to every single person who tweeted about Texas women or every single speaker you saw? This is your opportunity. So,
and we have a group on LinkedIn for the
Texas women.
Yes, so please join the group.
Yes, join it. And I just wanted to say in parting, that before I open up to Q&A, that it is totally random that we have two people in the cupcake industry on this panel. This is not the cupcake panel on social media, although it's sort of ironic. But does anyone out there have questions? Yes.
Sure.
So she has a question about LinkedIn Premium, the more advanced pay for additional services.
Why do you need it? It's about in-mailing, so you can get contacted with people easier. There's a couple of us from LinkedIn, so if anybody wants to talk about the premium account, I can take it offline and answer you. There are a couple of added advantages, but frankly, the free service provides you with a whole lot, so please take a look and use the free service first before you decide you want to upgrade. There's no sense in spending money that you don't need to.
Anyone else? Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's such a good question. How did you know I was Nikki? Oh, that's right. Yeah. I decided Nikki was way too stripper in my professional life. I was like, thanks, Dad. That really helps me a lot. You know, and it's a great question in terms of social media. So how much of this personal stuff do you share versus how much of the professional stuff do you share? And I think every individual needs to answer that for themselves. But I can promise you that my most viewed blog was the delivery of my baby. Not the actual delivery, but the picture of him after the fact. That would be gross. But you really do have to meter, you know, what do you want to share of yourself. But the one true thing about social media is people respond to authenticity. You can't bullshit in social media. Like, a lot of times people think, okay, I'm just going to present myself in this ta-da perfect kind of way. And people don't respond to that. Like, people who are tweeting on their behalf and who are, you know, they're trying to corporate eyes their persona, it's just not as effective. You know, yeah, sometimes you're busy and you've got to have people who are supporting you in your social media endeavors, but ultimately you have to be you and decide to what degree you want to share, how much of the Nikki you want to share.
And remember that there's no eraser on the internet. So,
and there really isn't. And we honestly, we did an interview not long ago, and I found a picture of this woman's breast. And I'm like, you know, just not a picture of her breast, but a picture of her. And I can't believe that in this day and age we're still talking about this. But yes, like, people can tag you, and you have to, you know, actively be searching yourself. And that's another reason why I so encourage you to use LinkedIn, because it's SEO. You know, this information, this is going to be top of record. So when someone Googles you, if you've got a full and thorough profile, they're going to find your LinkedIn profile versus, you know, your Facebook page and maybe some more personal stuff that you wouldn't necessarily want on there.
Yeah. I can answer that. I think it's very interesting. I think it depends on your following. I personally have a different photo for a couple of them, but I'm a strong believer that you should keep the same photo for a long time on your Twitter account and your LinkedIn account and your, not Facebook. Facebook you can rotate more often, but I think in LinkedIn and Twitter, it's almost jarring to someone if they've just met you on Twitter and suddenly you're changing your picture. They don't recognize that person because the pictures are so tiny. And same with LinkedIn, that I think it just behooves you to have one professional photo. I would also encourage everyone, I know LinkedIn has a booth here today with professional makeup artists and professional headshots. Every single person on the planet, it doesn't matter what position you have, should have one professional headshot that they can use for social media. It's really important. And in terms of Facebook, you know, when someone friends you, they don't want to just see a baby's face. They really want to see your face. They don't know that baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
And speaking of baby faces, a lot of times I'll work with older women who are like, oh, I'll just put this picture of myself when I'm, you know, was 22 and now I'm 68. And literally, that's all well and good because they're like, well, I don't want to be discriminated, you know, against based on age. But at the end of the day, you hope to get an interview and you're going to walk in that door and it's like, good God, who are you? And then they're not going to hire you because they feel that you're deceptive. It's kind of like online dating. You really do have to have an accurate, you need to look like you in that photograph and not your baby or dog.
Sure.
Unless you're a vet.
You know, I also want to add too is that be careful of like, I don't even know how to say this, but it's like, it's not your profile, but it's reviews and stuff that you leave on the web. Like Yelp is very highly optimized for restaurants and people are searching for things, but it's also optimized for search. So if you have your username is your first and last name, people can figure it out that it's eventually you. So if you leave this nasty, awful, like, review of like, I did this and you're cussing or whatever, it's so highly optimized that it may be above your own domain name. So just sort of think about your whole brand and persona. Do a Google search, set up Google alerts for your name, your full name, and just if something comes in, constantly see where you're at. And if you have to leverage, I want to know one question about LinkedIn. Is it true, because every SEO person I've asked has said this, that the links that are the website links on your profile are so highly optimized that if you use those, you will actually drive some juice to your site by posting the link?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So basically, you know, on your LinkedIn profile, and it gives you options for like website URLs,
yep.
And you can change the name of the website so it can be something else. So if you are trying to your you know, daycare school or whatever. You
can, it's in the edit function. So in your profile, you edit your profile, and then it says website. And a lot of times people just have website. In the back end, it is directed to your URL. But you can actually have your website URL or name. And you can also do a vanity URL for your personal name, which makes you more searchable as well. So again, please come downstairs and I can walk you through it, but it's very easy and intuitive to use if you just go into the edit profile.
We have time for two more questions. Yeah. So let's just repeat the question. This woman works at Hewlett-Packard, and she also is running a breast cancer benefit. And should she have two separate identities on LinkedIn?
No, you should absolutely not have two separate identities. If people are looking for you specific, to whatever it is that you're doing, they'll find the right hat you. But at the same time, there's a lot of times, I was dealing with a woman the other day who was a nurse practitioner, and now she's going out independently and is doing some other work. And actually, it enhances you that that just makes you so much more robust as an individual. You know, it's the problem, the issue I've heard, and it's a legitimate concern, is when you're looking for a job and, you want to keep that.
But I think in terms of your personal brand, you're a Hewlett-Packard manager who also is passionate about breast cancer awareness. That's a great brand to have. Why not combine them?
Come on.
Anyone else? Yes.
Yeah, there's a status. So, and again, I think that as women, we've got to sort of toot our own horns. So it's like, hey, I just accomplished this, or, I just published this article, or this article was published, check out my blog.
Or this about my company.
Yeah, or this about my company, or even my colleagues and coworkers, be that team worker who's, calling out to someone else who's done some, professional feat of genius. Like, it's just sharing that kind of content and
information. And I think the thing about LinkedIn is people are there because they want to hear updates on people's professional lives. So don't be shy. I mean, especially men, don't have as big a problem tooting their own horns, but it's important to broadcast your strengths and your successes.
Yeah.
Sure.
I just wanted about, dual personalities and jobs and passion. You should, any company that you're working for, you should leverage their status in all of your stuff. So on your Twitter handle, in your profile, say, marketing manager at HP or whatever it is that your thing is, because people can search by profiles too. So people will find you through that way, and it will elevate you to, I can't tell you how many times, I was looking at the conference tweets a couple days ago, and I had seen that the AT&T social media guy, and we're deciding if we're going to go AT&T or not. And I sent it to my boyfriend as a joke, and I said, here's someone you can complain to and see if we should stay with our iPhones. And Eric sent him a tweet and was like, hey, can you help me out? And the guy got right back right away. That's not his job. That's not his job to do customer support. But you may find that you get yourself in a position where as people start to see your followings and you're, that you're an organic, you're a real person on the web, they may reach out to you to help get in through your company too, or to find out about job leads. I can't tell you how many times with LinkedIn people have said, you're connected to this person, because I used to work in television for 12 years, so I have a ton of television contacts. And people would be like, I'm looking for a job here. Can you just connect me to this person? Unbelievable. I mean, LinkedIn has been great. And just so you guys know, if you want to say, my Twitter handle is BakeSpace. And if you guys want to do your Twitter handle as well, if you guys follow us, I have a social media sort of checklist that I made, a PDF, which I gave to the organizers, and I think they're going to put on the website, but if for some reason it doesn't make it there, just send me a tweet and I will send you the link to the form.
And my name is Tammy Tibbetts, just says, is on my name tag here. And then just listening to this, I was inspired to say how, what is so exciting about social media to me is that your name or BakeSpace, whatever your brand is that you've created as an entrepreneur, you have power in that, so you can leverage where you work too, but at the end of the day, it's so exciting that you have this platform to make your name represent what you're passionate and talented.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I'm the girl on top.
So,
not really.
And I'm at Samantha Edith. So thank you all. Thanks to our wonderful panelists. And thank you for being here. I think a few of us will be here for a couple more minutes if you have any questions.